Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. O grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is Pentecost, the day we rejoice that the Father and the Son together have sent the Holy Spirit. And we rejoice this day that the Father and the Son continue to send the Holy Spirit this very day. But brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever stopped and wondered just what is Pentecost? I mean, we live so far removed from the Jewish feast day and Jewish culture that we oftentimes gloss over the fact of what we read in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost arrived. They were all together in one place. Well, who was together? Why were they together? What exactly is Pentecost? To help answer that question, I want you to think of the Bloomington Farmers Market. Bloomington Farmers Market on opening day. The citizens of Bloomington gather near the city hall after the winter months, and they come from all over. You have locals from Bloomington. You have domestic and international students. Of course, you have out-of-town visitors. According to online reviews, people have come from as far away as Washington State, California, Maryland, Ohio, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. The market is a busy place. It's an outdoor place where you hear the different sounds and of languages and accents, and you see people gathered there from all walks of life. But they're there for one reason. It's because of the produce. They come to enjoy the fruits of the farmer's labor and to take home with them some of the harvest. Keep that in mind. I want you to expand on that a little bit. Pentecost was a gathering that was held in Jerusalem, and it had to do with fresh produce. In fact, Pentecost was one of the three major feasts for the Jews, whereby they would journey from all around into Jerusalem. And once they were there, they would gather in another public place, not the civic center of Jerusalem, but the religious center, the temple. There, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven would gather. Pentecost, in a way, is like a big farmer's market, and yet with some distinction. For it wasn't just a time to buy or sell produce. No, it was a time for the people of God to worship the one true God. Farmers and pilgrims would come into Jerusalem with baskets of produce, the fruits of their labor, so that they could offer up thanks for the blessing that they have received from God. When they would come into the temple, they would be singing the songs of ascent, Psalms 120 through 136, all which recall God's great work of redemption and provision and protection. They would sing, God alone does great wonders. His steadfast love endures forever. Indeed, God alone does great wonders. And the people gathered worshiped the Lord, not only in songs, but in bringing what the Lord had blessed them with, and then presenting it to the Lord in the temple. They would bring these fruits of their labors to the priest, and together with the priest, they would wave their offerings before the Lord, reciting part of Deuteronomy 26. A wandering Aramean was my father. There again, they would recall the great wonders of the Lord and how he gave them the land of promise, the land that produced all those fruits of the field. It was the first Pentecost, well before what we read in our reading from Acts today. But over time, a problem developed with the people of God. Though all the people were Jews, not everyone spoke Hebrew. The Jews had come from places occupied by the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Persians, and others came from other areas and spoke the local language. Priests would now need to lead those who did not speak Hebrew, and this was an embarrassment, an offense to the non-Hebrew speakers. And so people stopped bringing their offerings. To combat the decline of attendance, the priests decided, well, that they were going to lead them all. But here again, another problem developed. The priest could perform the offering, but many of the people could not understand what was said. They couldn't understand or hear in their own languages the wonders of God that was being declared to them. This is where we find the disciples. It was the 12. Matthias in place of Judas, and quite possibly the 120 that were gathered in Jerusalem with them. It was 33 AD. It was 50 days after Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. It was one of the three feasts where the people would gather in Jerusalem. And 10 days now had passed since Jesus ascended bodily into heaven after he had promised the sending of the Holy Spirit. And then his word was fulfilled. There was a sound of violent wind, maybe like a tornado or a whirlwind whipping up in a pillar of cloud. The crowds in the temple, they certainly heard the noise. They looked around, they wondered what was happening. And they looked and they saw tongues of fire, little pillars of fire, resting on the head of the apostles. Well, the Jews would have recalled a similar yet different event in their past, right? They would have recalled the Exodus, where Yahweh made his presence known in a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. But here, something new and distinct was happening. The fire of God's presence wasn't resting on the tabernacle above the Holy of Holies. It was resting instead on people. It was resting specifically on those who had been with Jesus. And then those men began to speak. And they spoke not only in Hebrew, but they spoke in languages that all the people could hear and understand. And what was it that they said? Well, they declared the wonders of God in their own languages, so that the Jews gathered for Pentecost could hear clearly how the Lord redeemed and provided and protected them. How all of the promises of God in the past are fulfilled in Christ. All of this together led the Jews in Jerusalem from every nation to ask a question that we're familiar with. What does this mean? Well, it's a good question. What does this mean? What's the significance? What does it have to do with us? Well, in part, the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost in 33 AD is a fulfillment of prophecy. Remember, a prophet is validated if the events that they foretold actually takes place in history. That's part of what it means to be a prophet. And here at this Pentecost, the prophecy of Joel is fulfilled. The Holy Spirit is poured out just as the prophet proclaimed. In the last days, the Lord says, I will pour out my Spirit, right? What that means, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the disciples and all who live now, that means you and I, we live in the last days. The days before the return of Jesus in glory. These last days are the days where Christ is proclaimed for the forgiveness of sins and for the salvation that he offers before he comes again in glory and in judgment. So the prophecy of Joel is fulfilled, but also the lament of Moses, the prophet, is also being fulfilled. We read that in the days of the Exodus, he lamented that all of God's people did not have the Spirit as the 70 elders and Eldad and Medad did. But now here at Pentecost, they do. As the disciples in Jerusalem received the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, they spoke words of prophecy. They spoke the words of God. They spoke of Christ and his fulfillment of all things. They declared his wonders. They proclaimed the Lord's redemption, provision, and protection. Now they were not simply recalling the past or looking forward to the future. They were speaking of the present. They were proclaiming Christ Jesus who suffered and died to redeem them and you and me and all people from their sin and from death and from the power of the devil. They proclaim Jesus, who provides for them and for us all good things and who protects us from every evil. Now, the Jews in Jerusalem, they had come to celebrate the harvest festival at Pentecost. But at the festival, the Lord of the harvest sends out his laborers to gather in a new harvest, not of grain or of produce, but of people. People from every tongue and tribe and nation. The people were harvested through the means of word and sacrament, the proclamation of Christ crucified, risen, and ascended, along with the baptism of those 3,000 souls, that first Pentecost. Beginning at that Pentecost, the Lord deigned to dwell with his people once again. But this time not in the tabernacle or the temple, which replaced it, and no longer in the flesh of Jesus, who called the 12 and walked with them for those 3 years of his earthly ministry, but now by the Spirit of Christ, by the Holy Spirit, the promised one, whom the Father and the Son sent to sanctify their very bodies to become the living temples of the living God. Here also at Pentecost, the Lord undoes the curse of Babel, whereby in the past he confused human language and scattered the nations because of sinful pride and arrogance. But now here he gathers the nations, and he speaks clearly to them through his apostles concerning the redemption, the provision, and the protection that Christ Jesus has come to give. See, that's what Pentecost means, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. For the last days are upon us, as Joel had prophesied. The ascended Christ, along with the Father, continue to send the Holy Spirit. Through your baptism into Christ's death and resurrection, God has made you his temple. You are a dwelling place of God. To you, God's salvation is known, especially as you hear again the wonderful deeds of our Lord in words that you can understand. And the Holy Spirit is at work in you as you hear and believe that Christ has redeemed you from sin and from death and from the devil, that he provides you with what is needed, that he guards you and he defends you from every evil. Christ dwells in you, and you in Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit. As a result of this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it means that God's salvation is known also through you. Right? As you hear and believe in Jesus' work on your behalf, as you come and you feast on Christ in his meal, you can be assured that the Word is at work in you by the Holy Spirit. And that as you leave the sanctuary, you go to school or work, spend time with family or friends, or even go into the farmer's market downtown, Jesus is not just with you in kind of a general sort of way, but he is with you for the sake of others, so that through you, others might hear about God's salvation for them in Christ. He is present with you as you tell others about his wonderful deeds. Remember, Moses' lament has been fulfilled. And you are prophets, speaking God's word according to your own vocation. You are co-laborers in the Lord's harvest field. Thanks be to God. And the harvest field for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is right under your 2 feet. It's where the Lord places you this very moment. You know, one of the wonderful things about being in Bloomington is that the Lord is bringing the nations to our doorstep. It's for that purpose that we've called Pastor Sway to be our mission and outreach pastor so many years ago, who can preach and teach and proclaim the wonders of God in Chinese. In the past, we've had families from Korea to be part of our Christian childcare and preschool. And in their time here, they were able to hear the wonders of God. For years, we've had families who've befriended Japanese and shared with them the love of Christ as well. As the Lord brings the nations to us, the Holy Spirit will be with us and at work in us as we love and serve and proclaim Christ to the nations. And as we, brothers and sisters in Christ, support our missionaries in foreign lands, and as members of faith congregation go to places like Belize and other nations, you know, the Holy Spirit is and will be continually at work in and through us as we proclaim the wonderful deeds of God. For in all of this, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're getting a foretaste of the fulfillment of God's greatest wonder and work of all. We're catching a glimpse of what life after the resurrection is going to look like. We're seeing a harvest being gathered and brought into the kingdom of God. St. John saw a revelation of this harvest when he wrote, "Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water.' And again to Jesus, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you have ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth.'" This means, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that the harvest festival of Pentecost is still going on. The harvest festival of Pentecost is bigger than you and I, but it includes us all. For God is at work in the proclaiming of his wonderful deeds. He is gathering in his harvest. He is dwelling in his saints, and they are from all nations. And he will raise us up on the last day so that together we may rejoice in the fullness of his great harvest feast. Right? These are the wonderful deeds of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the meaning, the significance of Pentecost. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.